The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Sonia Usech Kuhn of the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month we will introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. Our guest today is Cheryl Franklin, Lead Nurse Consultant Number 2, Division of Services for the Blind at the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. Cheryl, welcome to Community Connections. You are the perfect guest for our listeners for whom this program has been created and for the many other listeners across North Carolina. We are delighted that you are here and can share some of the services of the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. First, let me tell our audience a little bit more about you. Cheryl Franklin is a trained registered nurse and has been nursing since 1985, graduating from Parkland College in Illinois, her home state. She has performed many different types of nursing assignments, including working on telemetry and post-anesthesia units at Burham City Hospital in Champaign, Illinois, medical review for Medicare in Denver, Colorado, and she was the healthcare coordinator of an adult day health program for Creative Living Center in Greenville, North Carolina. She is currently working as the lead nurse eye care consultant in the East for the Division of Services for the Blind. She covers 9 counties herself and supervises 3 other nurses in the state, leading a total of 52 counties in eastern North Carolina. The division she works at has provided her extensive training related to low vision nursing and eye-related health issues over the years. Cheryl is married and has 2 adult children. She has a rescue dog named Jill, who brings great joy to her family. Cheryl and her husband have been living in Greenville, North Carolina for about 25 years after they lived in many other different places, including Illinois, Colorado, Utah, and Bordeaux, France. She loves Greenville and found it to be a wonderful community to raise her children. Cheryl loves studying the Bible and is active at her church facilitating a woman's Bible study group, as well as leading the church's prayer and care team, providing spiritual and emotional support to those that come. She has also been active in writing Notes of Hope for a local Greenville ministry that provides encouragement and support to young girls and women identified as being in high-risk situations. Pre-COVID, she was also coordinating a group of people who were at a local assisted living facility. There, she encouraged connection and support for the residents and staff. Cheryl participated in the celebration of residents' monthly birthday parties. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you for having me.
You are certainly a well-diversified person in your helping efforts. We're very happy to have you here. So let's start off, and please describe the goal of the program for people who are visually impaired, blind, and deafblind.
Sure. The Division of Services for the Blind provides services to people who are visually impaired, blind, deafblind, to help them reach their goals of independence and employment. These goals are very specific to them. For some, it may be to secure employment or to finish out degrees in school or college. For others, it may be to be successful with their activities of daily living and being able to maintain their independence.
Okay. So how are these goals met in general? And if you would address specifically for a young child who might need services, who is suddenly blind or young and born blind,
sure. These goals are met through many different programs, depending on the need. There's some programs that help provide low vision aids for those that need them. other programs that help provide training, counseling, employment-related support. Again, all are very individual specific based on the consumer's goal. We don't actually serve many children, as public schools serve young children in North Carolina. Occasionally, we will get a child who's homeschooled that we can serve and help provide low vision aids and other services to help. We do see some that are in high school and preparing to transition into college or employment after graduation, and that program is also a vocational rehab program that's called Transition.
I see. I didn't realize that the schools take over the needs of a blind young child. But that's really interesting to know, and for people who have a young child, especially, to know that that's available to them. So there are many ways in which someone could become blind: at birth, through an accident, due to medication. How are these situations handled?
We see individuals who have been blind or visually impaired since birth, and we see people who have had vision and then lost it due to an accident or illness. Some of the individuals we serve have usable vision, meaning that they would benefit from things like low vision aids, and some have no usable vision, meaning they would not benefit from low vision aids like magnifiers or lighting or special glasses, but they may benefit from other types of technology. We always address the individual's needs and strive to help them attain their goals right where they are. There is additional support available that can help those struggling to cope with their vision issues as well.
So which is most prevalent? At birth, or due to an accident, or due to some medication that didn't agree and caused a problem?
Yeah, most often what I see most of are people that have developed progressive eye-related diseases, things like macular degeneration, diabetic eye disease, glaucoma, things like that. So we do see more of that versus even adults who were born with vision-related issues. We don't see as many of those. We definitely do see those as well, but the vast majority of the people we see are dealing with some type of progressive eye-related disease.
So correct me if I'm not mistaken, but macular degeneration and diabetes eye disease sounds to me like older people, more mature people, rather than young 20s, 30s people. Is that follow suit?
It actually doesn't. So there is a form of macular degeneration that we see in a younger population. It's not as common, definitely, that would be the case. Same with diabetic eye disease. Oftentimes, that does develop over time. And so somebody would be older. I think one of the misconceptions people do have is when they think of something like cataracts, at least I know I did initially, I would think that would happen in somebody that was older and not somebody that's younger. There's actually some people that are born with cataracts, and cataracts, if not treated early, can cause blindness. And but I think some people, you know, with that thought, they might think that they have all the time in the world to address, say, a cataract issue, you know, if they're in their teen years or early 20s. And my advice to them would be, you know, to listen to the doctors, and, you know, they usually make the judgment when a cataract is ripe and ready to be removed, but not always just in elderly population.
Okay, that's valuable information. So here's something. Braille, we know that was a great help to people who are blind. Is that taught at the Department of Health and Human Services as part of the program?
Yes. So through Services for the Blind, we teach, they have teachers that teach Braille, including Braille technology. And it's taught at the Career and Training Center right there in Raleigh. They have wonderful instructors in a classroom setting, and they can teach all different levels. Braille writing equipment is also taught by our assistive technology consultants and instructors.
Terrific. Terrific. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to know that these are available to people who need that. Now, at North Carolina Reading Service, once a year, we usually have a gala, and it's a wonderful event. And before the food comes, there are many vendors in the lobby displaying electronic devices. That particularly one that I was impressed with for folks how to use a computer. So are these electronic devices available for people who need them through the Department of Health and Human Services?
Absolutely. Through Services for the Blind, there's programs that help sponsor things like computer and computer-related technology. And I think what you were describing might have been JAWS, which is an audio program for the computer. And so somebody that doesn't have any usable vision would be able to use their computer, much like you and I do, only through it works a little bit differently. But lots of different tools, and they are all sponsored by our division. We have different programs. Some are state-funded programs. Some are federally funded programs. For instance, Low Vision Aid, that particular program, there are qualifiers for many of these programs, and so there needs to be, for many of the programs, a progressive eye-related disease that's been given by a doctor, and a lot of times some issues related to a person's visual acuity or how much usable vision they have, and that can also include or incorporate visual field. So you could have somebody that has very good vision, say 20/20, quote-unquote perfect vision, but if they have a lot of visual field loss, that might not be very sustainable for very long, that 20/20, if it's a tiny little, you know, area where they have vision.
I see. Well, you certainly are educating us here. Now, I am aware of the fact that there are quite a number of programs available, and we haven't touched on all of them, obviously, but this is your opportunity to describe maybe the business enterprise program or one of the independent living services program for the blinds or any one of the others that you might think would be of interest to our audience. Where would you like to start?
I'll start at the top with business enterprise program. And I can give you just a brief summary of what that is. That program gives legally blind participants the opportunity to operate their own food service or vending facility. The program provides initial training for potential licensees and ongoing counseling and management services to established operators. Our VR program, or vocational rehab program, helps to assist eligible individuals find employment, keep the job they have, or even advance professionally. Working with the VR counselor, individuals will develop an employment goal and create an individualized plan of services and support to help them achieve that goal.
I'm interested in this vocational rehab for the blind. Can you give us an example of what an interesting job would be for someone who is blind.
Yeah, and I would say really somebody that's blind can do almost anything. So we have people, and just for instance, we had a director of our agency, Services for the Blind, Eddie Weaver, who was a very effective leader and was able to utilize the technology, like the computer, like the rest of us do. And so we would receive emails. And yeah, so I would say that, you know, the sky is the limit. We've got people that do all different types of jobs. People that work in salons, you know, doing hair and things like that. We have a lot of healthcare providers that are in the VR program that we help assist.
That's fabulous.
It is wonderful. Yeah, and we, the goal really is to get them the tools and the assistance that they need to accomplish what they need to accomplish in their work to be successful.
Yep. Well, that is very encouraging and very enlightening, because I, as a seeing person, would not have thought that so much is available. And that is wonderful. What else would you like to tell us about? What's the Dick's Cafe?
So the Dick's Cafe is a run by the Business Enterprise Program. And that's actually an area I don't know all the ins and outs of. Yeah, I know it's located up there on the campus there, right in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. Dorothea Dix campus.
Oh, the Dorothea Dix campus, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the name. Okay, Dix Cafe. So what about the independent living services for the blind? Because independence is something most people aspire to.
Absolutely, and that is part of our goal really across most of these programs, is to help people maintain their independence. That is always the goal. But with the independent living program, they provide guidance, training, and connections to all kinds of different resources to help them adjust to vision loss and live independently and safely at home and in the community. The medical eye care program assists eligible North Carolinians who have no other resources for eye care services to obtain eye-related treatment, surgeries, and medication. And I do want to say,
yes,
that within these programs, there's other specialized services that are really helpful and key. And, you know, one of those is low vision services. And that is something that I do assessments for, to determine what low vision aids can help an individual. That's things like magnifiers, lighting, filter glasses, eye-related education related to preserving what vision a person might have, and education related to their eye disease. There's another program called O&M, and that stands for Orientation and Mobility. And that program provides instruction to people who are blind or visually impaired with safe and effective travel. And then there's also Deafblind Services. They provide assistive technology, employment services, specialized training to help people that are deafblind improve the quality and ease of their everyday lives. They assist consumers with obtaining hearing aids, assistive listening devices, and alerting systems. And there's also an assistive technology program. There's an assistive technology consultant that provides individualized assessments of the specific technology needs in vocational, educational, community, or home settings, which are needed to assist an individual to achieve their goals. And the AT instructors provide in-depth instruction on these tools that are then recommended to help them be successful, independent with those things.
Well, I think that Your department is doing great service for people who need these kinds of services, and I'm glad you were able to expound and tell our audience about them. I just want to move on a little bit and ask you this. Are volunteers a part of the program who can help the blind or print impaired? And if so, what qualifications do volunteers have to meet?
Volunteers are sometimes used in the daily living skills classes. These classes used to be called mini centers. These individuals are required to follow agency-related policy as far as working as a volunteer. There are some other services that our agency is directly involved in that also utilize volunteers. We help come alongside the Lions Club in helping with the VIP fishing tournament in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. That's an annual event that a lot of visually impaired persons join together in, and there are hundreds of volunteers at that event. And there's another place called Camp Dogwood in Sherrillsford, North Carolina, that also utilizes volunteers.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I would say this, that in many of my interviews with folks in the community who are making a difference, the word passion is usually mentioned. Can you tell our audience, please, what strikes a chord in you about this seemingly necessary ingredient for success? Passion.
When I applied to this position, I remember reading in the position description that my role would be to help people with low vision issues see better. And at the time, I honestly thought, what could be better than helping people see better? And I can honestly say, after almost 10 years of being with this division, I still get excited to see how what I do helps restore independence and confidence and even hope to many of those who I serve that had no idea what was even available to help them with their issues. It's very, very rewarding.
Great, great. What about the people themselves? How do they react to what you do? What kind of an emotional situation does your work evolve in?
I see a lot of people that are in all different stages of dealing with vision loss, from denial to anger, to acceptance, to depression, even anxiety related to it. There's a lot of different issues. It's not unusual to walk into a person's home and somebody would be very, very down, could be very, very down and depressed. And oftentimes I feel like by the time I leave, they are very much lifted because they had no idea what was available, and they had no idea that they would be able to, say, read their mail once again or see their medication packages or relabeled again. And so it's just very, very rewarding to help people meet their goals.
So in this vein, let's just carry it just a little bit further. How about the rest of the people in the family? So say it's maybe a 19-year-old that suddenly became blind. How about the parents and siblings of that person? How did they adjust to the situation that now faces their family?
By providing these services, we provide to those that we serve, their families frequently come along through the steps of our many services. And as we are educating and assisting these consumers, their families become more aware of a lot of the issues and even some of the solutions. One example I can think of would be in the case of orientation and mobility training. Many times their families are taught strategies on how to be a sighted guide to help safely lead their loved one when they are somewhere, you know, outside of the home. So I think they learn a lot sort of along the way as they're walking through this with their loved one.
Okay. Well, I have one more question that you can briefly tell me. During the COVID pandemic, which is not exactly over yet, how were services provided for the blind?
Yeah, many of our services were able to be addressed remotely over the phone. Some of our services that would normally happen in person were temporarily on hold for the safety of the individuals we serve and for our staff. Some services were a little more challenging, so providing low vision aids and orientation and mobility require hands-on training most of the time. And with low vision aids and some of the different tools that are demoed in person, we did try and we actually collaborated with the low vision specialists and the other low vision nurses in the state to get creative to see if we could actually make recommendations for things like magnifiers remotely. And so we were able to successfully meet some of the needs. We did have a protocol in place for seeing people that were dealing with critical issues so that they could be seen in person with, of course, many precautions in place, including doing a health screening for both them and for us, the staff, wearing our PPE and sanitizing procedures of any of the equipment that was used.
Okay, this is your opportunity to do the commercial. Please tell our listeners how persons could benefit from the services by getting in touch with you at the Department of Health and Human Services. A phone number, a website?
Yeah, the website is www.ncdhhs.gov.
And the phone number?
Once you bring up the website, you can click on the directory to find your county with contact information for your area, your county, your specific county. The phone number is 919-527-6762. And that is right in Raleigh.
Okay. Cheryl, you've really been a charming and informative guest. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. Well, we've run out of time for this month's episode of Community Connections. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. I'm Sonia Usach-Kuhn for the North Carolina Reading Service. Community Connections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5138. The number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to North Carolina Reading Service.